Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. We gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
What's it?
think I wanna hit the moon.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio A this morning on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning, the 16th day of October 2022. As always, I tell you, read your African-American newspapers no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. We have Texas Metro News, Garland Journal, and My Eye Messenger. And 10 years celebrating excellence in the printing realm of broadcasting with Texas Metro News and the Garland Journal. You can't live without it. I tell you, if you get a chance, go online and check it out. Cheryl's been doing an outstanding job. And if you go on the Facebook or some of the other profiles of the Texas Metro News, you can find yours truly and others with video clips talking about the 10-year anniversary. So much is going on, so little time to talk about it this morning. Some of the things that we'll talk about to kind of get you going. And hopefully you got a special group of gentlemen that we're going to talk about right after Black College Sports. Hopefully talk about the new hire of Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University in the realm of athletics. Some of the things we'll talk about, remember I've always talked about there's an assault on democracy. You know, we have the Roe versus Wade. We talk about the gun laws. Things of that nature seem like the times are going backwards. I always said I wish I had the ingenuity to come up with a watch that ran backwards instead of forwards, because that is an explanation or the description of what this country is going through with certain items, and definitely we're going backwards. But with the gun laws and everything that's going on, New York, you can carry. Texas, you know, it's the wild, wild west out here. You know, there's still incidents, not as much as I would have thought. But I'm looking to see Matt Dillon walk up on the corner, ride up on the corner, tie his horse up, and we're going to have a cup of coffee or something. Because, you know, everybody caring, I want everybody to know, caring. But around here, a lot of people tote guns. So we'll talk about that a little bit later this morning. The ambush in Connecticut, the shooting in Raleigh, North Carolina. Isn't that something? 15-year-old. 15. If you think that's something, let me tell you, it's even worse. Kind of get down in my bones a little bit. When you have an elementary kid in a K-5, and I respect the school district for not reporting it, but a gun was fired in an elementary school. A kid brought a gun from home. Luckily, no one was injured, but an elementary student? Come on, y'all. That hurts. That hurts. Can you imagine, and we will talk about it a little bit more, imagine dropping off elementary kids to school in this gunfire. Now, there's a difference with Uvalde. You have a shooter that come in and hurting these kids. All of it hurts. But when you have an elementary kid bringing a gun to school, we'll talk about that. You know, the election's coming up. Yesterday we had some people in the neighborhood come through and trying to get support for Beto and trying to get support for our current governor and Abbott. And it's just things are turning up. So I suggest everybody get out and vote for these primaries, big races in Florida, Texas, Pennsylvania, Georgia. We'll touch on those a little bit later. And then again, at about 9-ish Central Time, 10-ish, we're going to talk a little bit. Got a bunch of friends from FAMU, Go Rattlers, to see if we can talk about the new executive and senior AD at Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University. So we got a little bit of time to talk about it. We'll get into it. And it goes a little something like this. Gun violence. What are we going to do, folks? A young man called 911. Called 911 and was telling the police department about an ambush. Excuse me, not an ambush, but domestic violence. Two officers shows up. The two officers are ambushed. Ambushed. That's in Connecticut. I mentioned earlier about a 15-year-old charged with the killings in Raleigh, North Carolina. Youngsters. Then again, on the local scene in Dallas Independent School District School in the area of Dallas or in the city of Dallas, where a gun was fired in an elementary school. And if I'm not mistaken, K-5, you know, it kills my heart to think that someone that young, either an older sibling or even a parent. You know, I think about the days when I was coming up. Yes, we had a firearm in our home. It's understood. But there were rules associated with knowing where that firearm was located. And there were consequences. If you were to go in the room in the top of the closet, way in the back, you know, for a young man as myself at that time, I would have needed a chair or something to help me get in the back of the closet, up on the top shelf. Are we getting careless with our pieces? Do we need to lock them up? Yes. Do we need to have devices on it where no one can pull it but yourself? Yes. Can you imagine what could have happened at that elementary school? Can you imagine, not even imagine, just letting you know what happens when you get a 15-year-old with a gun? Now, we talk about this gun control all the time in this country. If we don't regulate this thing, we're headed for disaster. I'm going to read you a few clips. I should just give you some stats on gun control. And this is from a week ago, and I'll read it out to you. Five people were shot in Beaumont, Texas on October 9th. Five were injured, no deaths. Tampa, Florida, seven people shot, one death, and that's my hometown. One person was killed, six were injured early morning outside a local bar. Two groups had been escorted outside after a fight broke out, and the fight escalated after one left during the fight and returned armed. That's seven people, one dead. Jacksonville, Arkansas, four people shot, one killed. Miami, a man was killed and three others were wounded in a drive-by shooting outside a home. South Carolina, five people killed in a shooting inside a house over the weekend. Five people shot, all of them are dead. That's in Inman, South Carolina. Earlier we talked about Raleigh, North Carolina. Eight people shot, five dead, three injured. Five people, as I mentioned, were killed, off-duty, an off-duty police officer. Two officers were injured in the shooting on the Neuse River Trail. The shooter, or the suspected shooter, was later arrested and being wounded by the police. A youngster, he'll be charged as an adult. Parkland, Florida. Youngster will get time but not death penalty. What is going on? Do we need consistency in our system? That's what we've always asked for. Each state has their own laws. We do understand that. Supreme Court, what do we do? What do we mandate? What do we put together? Because if a kid, you know what, I feel bad that it's a youngster, but if they can put thoughts together and come up with a scheme to hurt people, then I think the law should be spread across the table for everyone. Mass killings. Mass killings. What is it going to take for us to understand what is being done or what should be done in situations like this? It is awful. Awful, folks, how people, how these kids are just getting guns. Absolutely awful. You know, we talk about Connecticut. You call for police help. I want to say good morning to former Chiefs of Dallas, Renee Hall. And then we'll mention some more as we go. It is a hard job. Things are going on in Dallas, but we hear very little about the Chiefs' response to things. Our chief, I'm just calling it like I see it, has taken on another job, as well as the local job of being over another agency, not so much the department, but another agency within the law enforcement family. Tough enough that Dallas is going through a lot of changes through gun violence, especially in the southeast sector of our city. I'm pissed. I'm really pissed when we have other chiefs that are in and they will hyperpolarize events that happen in Dallas, Texas. We've gone through it, Chief Williams. You know, I mean, everybody that's come through of color. But things are happening in the southeast quadrant. And not one time, you get mentioned, but not one time have they talked about or questioned what is going on with the police department. Yes, Dallas, we have our issues. Yes, Texas, we have our issues. Yes, the United States of America, we have our issues. But what are we going to get together and put something on paper or just... You got Zoom. Everybody's so used to Zoom. Let's talk. How are we going to head this off? Talk to our legislators. Well, now you can carry guns, open guns in Texas. Well, we might as well call up Matt Dillon, Wild Wild West, Lucas McCain, anybody you want to call. What are we going to do? It is open. Open carry. Now, mind you, it's not open for everybody because if they see you with a gun of color, then it's some stuff. And it's Sunday morning. I will respect that. Some stuff going on when you see that. Others have been carrying the guns on their hip. All we're missing is a shot of whiskey, some tumbleweed, here in Texas. I mention that, folks, because it's so important that we vote. We vote. Try to get people in that share your common interests. No apathy, no absentism. Go vote. Spark your own fire. Get in line. I talk about, again, about our assault on democracy. People trying to vote in various states. All these sideline projects, I call them, are trying to deter you from voting. You know, this might sound a little funny, but it's true. If they're going to not allow you to use the restroom or anything when you get out of line, create problems, or which I think is just awful. Then maybe we need to get stock in Depends and make this thing happen. There's a song I remember something about, I'm not going to let nothing turn me around. The attitude that we need for this next election, for these midterms. I don't care what's going on, you can't let them turn you around. People in line, people eating, or whatever you have to do. Get yourself two or three people go together so you can have various items. You got to take some chairs. Because there's going to be some stuff going on. I had to catch myself. I really was about to cut up there. There's going to be some stuff going on. So we have to be ready. Absolutely be ready for what's to come. But again, people going through the neighborhood in the Texas zip codes, especially in the Metroplex, representatives from a lot of people. Folks, we just want you to get out there and vote. Get out there and vote. I tell you, I'm just really dumbfounded this morning. Again, and I keep repeating, of the shootings by young people, people under 18, people under 12, people under 10. And I love, you know, what went on in Dallas, how the school district protected the individuals, did not disclose any names, and we're grateful of that. But I will say this. Something needs to be done. That could have been an awful situation here at one of our public schools. Families, uncles, aunts, grannies, grandpas, mama, daddy, sister, brother, auntie, uncle, first cousin, no cousin, best friend. We need to do things in our own home to get control. First of all, you have a right to protect your fortress. Well, let's lock this gun up if you have one in your home. Let's put it out the way because, again, so much is going on. All these young folks, something is going on. Again, at Parkland, there in Florida, they want to give the boy life but not death. Now, I'm going to be devil's advocate on this one. Had it been someone of color, yeah. He would have gotten life, he or she would have gotten life, but life would have been in the form of the electric chair, execution by law enforcement. Folks, I keep painting or creating a narrative for us to understand how important it is for us to get out and vote. We can't have any apathy about it because when we miss out, we really miss out. So if we can go and show the powers that be our commitment to being and our commitment to our rights as citizens in this country, let's not only show up but show out at the polls. If you have some friends in your prospective areas that have some doubt, please continue. Don't give up. Talk to them. Tell them to at least participate in the process. I know down in Florida that people were, if they had been imprisoned, that they had fees to pay. And that's something. You paid your debt to society, but now you can't, you lose your rights. It's people breaking laws every day and still have rights to vote. LeBron James down in Florida paid for a few. Those who have money, hopefully, you can help the process as well. But voting is important. Super important. You find a candidate of your choice. I tell you, this thing in Georgia is really getting me. Accusations, I'll be nice, accusations about Herschel Walker, anybody else, it would have pulled the campaign down. But right now with Senator Warnock, they're in Georgia. They're doing everything to pull. And look at the strategy. Let's put somebody of color against somebody of color. We split their vote. And we'll bring up the rear and make it happen for Georgians. Herschel Walker, who made all the people in Georgia in the early 80s very happy when he won the Heisman. They won a national championship as a freshman. Everybody can't be in politics. I tell you. Things are coming up from his past. If you get a chance, his son reacted to some items associated with his father. Now, mind you, under normal circumstances, if something would come up like it did with Herschel Walker, it would smear the campaign for us. But they're redirecting your thoughts, just like everything else. A former president, his association with ladies associated with campaigns or anything in the past, his behavior. Mind you, if I was to run for something public, they probably would pull up something on me. I don't even know I'm done. You know, accusations against me or anybody else because they don't want us to win. But when the shoe is on the foot, other things happen. You know, it's that swan song that we always hear. Vote. That's a very, very powerful four-letter word. Big Mama, Bud Deer, all them years ago, didn't have the opportunity to vote. Stood in line, paid poll taxes. Think about Selma. Think about Georgia. Think about every place in the South. Alabama. Weeks ago, I talked about in Alabama where one of the city officials had put a connection, I think it was the school board, and had a Republican elephant. And you all, you know, please look it up. I'll try to look through my notes to tell you. But right at the bottom of the elephant, if you know how the Republican symbol looks, normally has just two legs on it, the one that we see a lot. This Republican symbol had four legs, and it had some eyes. And it had some points of the legs that made it look like hoods of the KKK. Right there in Alabama, all the rights people have gotten for the citizens of Alabama of color, they're trying to rescind on them now. If that doesn't get you pissed off, I don't know what will. People have lost their lives trying to at least be able to sit at the table, vote at the table. And they're constantly getting this. America, are we on the rewind? Are we afraid to move forward? Getting a little color to the Supreme Court justice. Are they happy with that? No. One of the longest standing justices for this group of justice. They're always talking about justices. Is he changing his stripes? His wife is caught up in the middle of this. But no reflection. If our spouses went left on things, they're going to group everybody together, everybody at the house, all neighborhood, everything. We know there are double standards. But we need to fight through that. I don't care what the standard may be. You get out there and vote. And if they're going to do some shiggity, then let's give them enough votes where they really have to work hard. The big mom and them paved the way for us to vote. Growing up there in Tampa, I just think about how I used to watch my grandmother, my parents, just all my family go vote, try to go make a difference. We had polling places in the neighborhood. A little activist at that time. Who would have known where we are today if it wasn't for those individuals? If we take that same spirit that was months, years ahead of us, what they did, if we can do it as well. And then not only do it, but teach your kids, your nieces, nephews, kids in the neighborhood, the importance of what voting is all about. If they're going to mess it up, let's give them something to mess up. If you don't show up, there's nothing for them to mess up at all. So let's do it. For those who are listening, this is Andrew Wiggum, and welcome to The World According to Drew. We do this every Sunday morning, 8 to 10 Central Time, 9 to 11 on the East Coast. Basically open forum. I just try to get you stirred up a little bit on some current events and tie it in with some things that are going on, some thoughts. We have a world-class Hall of Fame journalist, not myself, trying to get there. Cheryl Smith, who is leading the parade, she has been outstanding. She's been going at this for many years, but the last 10 years, she's come up with some publications, the Texas Metro News, as well as the Garland Journal, 10 years. Can you imagine? Even back home, you think of some papers that have been around a while, but this one is, you can find it digitally, and I slowed it up on purpose. It has a digital base, so there's no excuse. We all have the tools now to make a difference. So, folks, I can't stress enough the voting. I can't stress enough about gun control. Too many stories. Again, I mentioned 15-year-olds, kids in elementary school. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. There will be no future if there are no kids around. If nothing else, let's protect their lives. Let's do something. Because when we're not able to talk again, you're not able to hear, not do anything that we can to make a difference in this world, and it's over. So use your mouthpiece. Use whatever you need to do to make a difference. Let's train these kids up, teach them the importance of participation in this process, the political process. As a kid growing up in Tampa, I didn't see some of these things that were going on. Because our understanding was as a child. I found out, and let me just give you a little bit of historical perspective for me. My high school was about 30% black, 30% white, Hispanic, about 30. We split it down. I'm willing to bet almost 33%. It was very few Asian kids there at my high school. We got along. There were a lot of political things going on that we didn't even understand. We were fortunate at my high school that President Carter came to our high school. Very exciting moment at that time. And I want to say good morning to him as well, the oldest surviving president of these United States. Well, all that was going on. We had friendships with the Hispanic and white communities. We go back for a 10-year reunion. Things change. We've grown up. I didn't quite understand the Bay of Pigs that happened under the leadership of then President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Then we look at what's going on in Cuba. And then in the state of Florida, a lot of the Cubans are Republicans because of what happened with the Bay of Pigs. Those who are in Florida, take a look at that and see what's, understand why there's such a divide there, where down in Miami, down South Florida, and pretty much right through Central Florida is the heaviest populated area of Cubans in the state of Florida. Understand, if now if you go to Miami, guess who's running it? It's not so much the Cuban or Spanish descent. It's Russians that are buying everything up in Miami. Check your resources. You will see that. In the Tampa area, Tampa is growing. Tampa is getting very expensive. Tampa has become a city, a metropolitan area. My little hometown is on steroids right now. And there's so many mechanisms to keep you from enjoying the fruits of your labor. That's throughout this country. Prices going up. They're already high. You go, you used to get things $5 like watermelon. Sorry, I had to pick watermelon, but now they're $7. Milk is high. Anything you look for in the grocery store is high. Then as a consumer, you need gas for your car. So those prices, we were down maybe about 2 weeks ago, under $3. I think the lowest I encountered was about $2.90. You know, not counting the Costco discounts or anything, about $2.90. And then 1 week, then it goes up over $3, and I think it's about $3.23 here in the Dallas metropolitan area. But things are going to shift, and your involvement is solicited by me and others that we get out and vote. We've got to get out of it. It's just so, so important. You know why it's important? Because if you get people in the right place, you can get things accomplished. It's just absolutely crazy out here. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Some of the other things that are going on the committee, the former president has been subpoenaed. Do you honestly think he's going to take the stand? This is my thought. He's probably going to prolong it. He's waiting on this midterms, hoping they can grab some seats. He's already put 130 federal judges in positions throughout this country. They are loyal. Are we going straight? As we couldn't say it growing up, but when we say H-E, double hockey stick, with this government situation. You have a former president that has taken things in his own hands, taking classified documents. Can you imagine if President Obama would have taken classified documents? Knowing these folks around here, they would have waited for him to leave. They would have destroyed his home. If they didn't destroy it, they would have gone in and tried to get everything out they could. Now you have a president, a former president, that is talking in such a way that the country as a whole is not hearing what he's saying. We hear. We understand. We understand. When people tell you, or you have clips, that I need X amount of votes from you, you down roughly 1,100 votes. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for 1,200 votes. Just don't care. We pride ourselves in being one of the strongest countries in the world. People come to this country just for political asylum. But when they get here, they see what we're going through. And no one should be above the law, period. We understand that. You can say what you want to say about the 45th president, but they have put some things in order that we didn't realize at first, but now we see. But you can unseat all of that. Vote. Vote, vote, vote. What else could I say about that? You know, it's getting so bad with prices and everything. Did you see where in Alaska people were stealing the snow crabs? People are taking them by even before they become the size. So you know what? The economy. Since you can't get those snow crab legs that you love, go to Costco now. You're going to see a big price. Go to Walmart, wherever you buy your crab legs. Everything has a domino effect. And we're going to relay on that all the time. For those who are listening, if you want to get in, just press 1. Feel free. This is a format where you can tell us what's going on in your prospective neighborhoods, or if you have some thoughts on some of the things I've put out there, just press 1. And we'll get you on. All I say is respect the fact that it is Sunday morning. We have some folks in the Tampa area. Good morning, the 813s. And just want to hear from you. Just want to hear. At the top of the hour, I'll go through some Black College sports. Because, you know, on the mainstream of media, we still get very little. We'll talk about, on the second half, some of our HBCUs. Some of the young people are getting their acceptance letters. I want to say good morning to the Neal family down in Tampa. Daughter was accepted to FAMU. I'm especially excited about that, you know, being my alma mater. We just need more of our kids to participate in the process. So just go on. Everybody want to work. It's nothing wrong with working. But get something that will solidify your presence or your place and space, because you need it. And even those who haven't, fight like the dickens to maintain. But we need our young people to be in a position to make a difference. We do this every Sunday morning. Just pass it on to your friends at 646-200-0459. Let us know what's going on in your neighborhood. What's going on in your world? All you got to do is press 1, and we'll bring you up in the queue. But again, some of the things I see people have gotten on, what are we going to do about this gun control? Why are these young folks? More has happened under the age of 18. 15-year-old in Raleigh, North Carolina, killing folks. What would make a 15-year-old do that? You know, it's bad enough of things in Uvalde. You know, they're going through some things. The school superintendent retiring, all of a sudden, the chief of police, you know, it's just a it's just a travesty with those kids, with those lives being lost. Where was the plan? There's so much going on in this world now. I'm hoping that these school districts, we have independent school districts here, and if you're not familiar with independent school districts, they're districts where not in, like county. They're not county districts like they do in Florida. You have pockets. You have Dallas municipality with a school system. You have our metropolitan cities with their own school districts in the same county. So you may have 6, 7, maybe 10, I'm just roughly saying 10, independent school districts within one county. A few may overlap. So understand the structure of your system and your voting, folks, and make it happen. If you have young people, take them with you when you vote. Even those preparing for school, because it's so important that they learn. A lot of the civil rights actions during the 60s were done by students at various colleges. Whether it was North Carolina A&T, Howard University, let's not be remiss for FAMU doing their thing down in Tallahassee, doing the Tallahassee boycott. There's so much history in the areas that we live. So we must maintain and do things. I tell you, it just breaks my heart with these kids of things. But as we move forward, we'll talk about some of the other things on big, larger stage. The war in Ukraine, of course, that's affecting us all the way around. Just when we think we have suppressed the folks in Russia, then they turn it up and get stronger weapons of destruction. People are fleeing the country, trying not to be drafted or used in the army. Ukraine has been holding up well, considering what they've lost. NATO has stepped in to assist. My question to you, do you think we're headed towards the World War III? Something to think about. Are we headed to World War III? Press 1. Let me hear about it. What do you think? There are a lot of things bottled up in you that you haven't had the opportunity to say, but this is a great, great forum for you to get it out. Get it out and stimulate those who are listening. Those are the things that we try to bring to the table for you here in the World According to Drew. I tell you, we're trying to get some more information up here for you. Yeah, we just, you know, I'm just stuck this morning. I'm just hurting to think that these young kids are bringing guns to school. You know, adults out here fighting, it's a lot. It's a lot. But let me just take a break and just, you know, we're talking about 10 years of operation for Texas Metro News and the Garland Journal. I tell you, it's just awesome. And we need to get you to be a part of it. You can get our daily e-blast here. But let's just give you an idea of what's going on. When we have our e-blast, we have some people that are going for various positions in the city. So they will take ads with us. And that's what we use this medium to further their way in. We also have some anniversaries. Stephen and Carla Pace of 21 years. Mr. and Mrs. Smith for 29 years. Jason and Stephanie Zern Thorne, 4 years. Congratulations to them. Political advertisement here. You know, you take a look. Trailblazers. Congratulations to the Juanita Craft Humanitarian Award recipients. Scrimping and scraping. So we have a lot of pastors that have books that are out here. We always support the Pan-American Connection, which is a book local bookstore in Dallas that we will start featuring at least once a month. Maybe some books that we can all read. I'll try to go and dig in my library to get you just thinking. Those who grew up with me, they knew I always was a talker. But as you get older and you start getting things in, it definitely changes your perception. No other place but America. That's all I know. I've been places, but I love America. It's not perfect, but we love it. We absolutely love it. It's about 3 minutes to the hour. We're going to get into some black college sports here very shortly. Pan-African connection. Thank you, Cheryl. Right down the corner of Ann Arbor and Marcellus. I say Marcellus, but I'm in Dallas, so I must say Marcellus. Pan-African. Been there, and I remember a guy, I cannot remember his name, but when my daughter was coming up, she was into plays and acting and all of that, and he had wrote a play for her. And we started working on it. Then she really just kind of started doing a bunch of other things, especially when she went to Booker T. High School. So things changed, but they really work well with the kids. Those who are in the Dallas metropolitan area, go by, get some books, read, you know, find out some things, some cultural things. We know when they're telling us Columbus discovered America. Okay. How do you discover something that's already there? It might have been something new he discovered by bumping into it. So those are the things that I try to get you to think about. You know, by no means am I trying to change the shift, but just be open, open-minded, and be able to process what's going on. Too many people have fought for us to have this opportunity, for me to be able to speak, for you to be able to hear, you be able to live where you live. Too many people have fought for that. And we can't let anybody, as they used to say, turn me around. So as we go, we get a little break, and hopefully I got some folks coming on in the next hour that we're going to be talking about some things. We have Cheryl on as well, talking about that new hire down at Florida A&M. So as we get ready, it's that time. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for fighting for us. I'm going to be doing some good for this session. If you look at schools from the NEAC, the SWAC, SIAC, and CIAA, the football action over the weekend, there was a lot going on, and we're going to talk about something we did last week as well. In football action, it was North Carolina A&T 45 over Edward Waters of Jacksonville, Florida, 7. South Carolina State is victorious over Virginia Houston Lynchburg, 36-0. Delaware State defeats Crawford State, 28-7. Alabama State over Mississippi Valley State, 24-9. Hampton in overtime over Albany State, Albany, 38-37. Harvard defeats Howard in the Battle of the Aces, the Crimson over the Bison, 41-25. Jackson State in Jacksonville defeats Bethune-Cookman University, 48-8. Southern University over Auburn State, 21-17. Tennessee State over Tennessee Tech, 30-14. And out of Grambling, Louisiana, as they say, not Grambling, Louisiana, Grambling, Louisiana, the Rattlers of Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University defeat the G-Men in a squeaker, a close one, 20-16. Right up the road, 20 miles, I would say 20 miles, but about 40 miles east of Shreveport, Louisiana. So about a 4-hour drive from Dallas. Those Rattlers are victorious. We do it. We know it. We can't have it any other way. You can get Black College Sports here every Sunday morning. Even if it's not in your mainstream, you tune in. We can get the scores for you. This has been Andrew Wiggum from Black College Sports. You got it. All right. Again, we cover Black College Sports. No other medium. They'll give you a score here or there. But will they be talking about Black College Sports? Now, speaking of Black colleges, you know the notoriety and the popularity of our historically Black colleges and universities are on the rise. At this point, no matter where you go is good, but I'm just telling you what we got on the other side. Not what we have, what we got on the other side of the track. You know, with things going on, you have politicians still wearing their Confederate uniforms. People are still finding out, and look at it, look at our history, especially during our lifetime. In Charlottesville, people protesting. You have kids 18 years old upset about the protests. And mind you, over 50 years ago, when the voters' rights were passed, where we were able to vote, a kid 18 tried to plow a car into it. He wasn't even a gleam in his daddy eyes when, at that time, 50 years dealing with voting rights. And even his father wasn't even around. Where is the disconnect? What are they teaching their kids? Are they teaching the kids their beliefs, how they feel? Most of the time we do get our feelings, our thoughts, or whispered into our children's ears. But I tell you what, one thing I have told my kids, we know the world isn't fair, but we're not going to let that stop you from living your dreams. We will give you what you need, at least put you in a situation to succeed. All we're asking is that you grab the bull by the horns. You get what you need, we'll keep supporting you. And I always ask my kids, always ask them a question. What is it that you want to do? And then once they tell me, I tell them this. Your future is in your hands. Make a difference. Leave the world better, a better place than what you had or what you received. Guess where I got that from? I got that from my parents. The world is not going to give you nothing. It's what you take. And you take it by getting yourself prepared to be able to challenge when challenge is needed and able to defend when you've been challenged. That's all we need in this world. That's all we need. So back to our HBCUs, popularity is up, but they still, in some instances, find a way to be underfunded. But that's okay. Did you think Booker T. Washington Do you think George Washington Carver had all the resources that they needed to make Tuskegee what it is today? They made the earth work for them. Do you think Spelman or Morehouse had the endowment that they have? Howard, they made it work. Great alums from so many of our historically black colleges. Give something back. You may not have that big purse string, but stop in. Go on the campus. Buy some of their items. You know, if you have one, check with your legislators. See if they're doing their part. And send your kids. If you choose to, send your kids. Let them get that. They're fine institutions throughout this country. Fine. And they're all doing great things. But what we need our kids to see enrichment. You know, you can go and, yes, they have black student unions. Yes, I do understand that. We have our black churches that are doing outstanding work with our youth, with the young people department, doing great things. But sometimes in this cruel world, even when you have that badge at HBCU, where do we go? What do we need to do? We need to work together, understand each other, and just collaborate. We don't talk enough. And our kids, they're in situations in college. Like I said, every college is not for every kid. I'm telling you the brand that I know. And I've taken other courses, postgraduate work at other schools, and even as an adult, you see things going on. You're like, wow, you can't even get nobody to talk or try to work with you, or you try to work with them on projects. You're just on an island by yourself at some of the schools, not to say all of them. But HBCUs, the popularity is getting up. Texas Southern down in Houston, population is growing. They've had all kinds of things to catch the young individuals' attention. And Megan and all of them are down there or was down there. So they keep moving on. They keep moving on. So that's what we need from everybody. Let's get it. Now, we have Michelle holding on, and I was hoping some of the gentlemen from my little circle would come and join us. But if you could join the show, and I want to ask you the new hire for Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University, Ms. Tiffany Dawn Sykes from Dartmouth, Executive Senior Associate AD for Varsity Sports. What do you think about that hire? Go ahead and press 1, and I'll, if you're able to talk this morning, we got some more people coming in, but I want to start with you and see what your thoughts are. Let me refresh mine. I'm going to go ahead and bring you in. Good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good, good, good. And congratulations. I saw my, I started laughing because Cheryl, it took many takes. You hear me? I did some at work and couldn't transfer it. It said it was too big, so I had to come home and get it done. But congratulations on 10 great years with the Texas Metro News and the Garland Journal, and glad to be a part of it. Now,
thank you. I couldn't have done it without you.
Huh?
I said, thank you. I couldn't have done it without you.
Oh, well, thank you. And look, we definitely couldn't have done it without you. We appreciate that. Oh, it's so sweet. All the pleasantries. I'm loving it. Okay. So, fam, you made a big hire this week. Tiffany Dawn Sykes is the new Vice President and Director of Intercollegiate Activities. I think it was a great hire. Most of our problems have been compliance. She has a great compliance background. I wish we could get someone else on her team that's strong with compliance. We wish her the very best because we know how our athletic department operates. Whether it was Roosevelt, Wilson, Kent Riley, Coach Jay Gaither, all of these folks in the past have had those. Was Coach Tooks. Okay. So, just quickly, I know you're getting some things on, and we're praying for you every minute. Just quickly, what did you think about the hire?
Well, I'm excited about it, and when you look at what's going on in the world, women don't get places these days on just their looks, and so she definitely has the credentials, and in fact, she sent me a tweet because I had mentioned I had planned to go to the Grambling, FAMU Grambling game, but I was getting chastised fiercely by people, and I just said, okay, I will stay my black butt in Dallas, and I tweeted how I wanted to go there. I wanted to see her, to show her some love on her first game since the hire, and the fact that she's also a Grambling alum. And then also I wanted to show some love to the band director from Grambling, who happens to be a female, and not happen, she is a female, and she is my solo. Both of them are my solos.
Mm-hmm.
So that was exciting for me, but I just want her to have the support. I want her to have the love. I want her to have the autonomy to do what she needs to do to write a ship that is wrong. And it's really interesting because you listen to people and they say there's a lot more work to be done and some more changes that need to be forthcoming. I want to say congrats to Coach Simmons for 50 career wins.
And a tough hit, too. Had us all on pit. Woo! You know,
yeah, that
and Cheryl, in the midst of that game, I thought it was going to be that old, good old SWAT officiating. I tell you, it was enough laundry out there, and folks, laundry is called flags, penalties, to make a tire commercial. But they definitely throwing flags, throwing the laundry out there yesterday. But I thought we were going to get one of them SWAT finishes like we did at Southern one year, where the back judge and the side judge who stand under the field goal post, they were running halfway out to the goal line, then they decide if the kick was good or bad. And a couple years ago, we escaped a good game down in Southern before we even moved to the Southwestern Athletic Conference. But, you know, I hope things wish her the very best. I want to say thank you to Michael Smith as well. We should call Michael's one of my classmates. We call him House Man. And he was doing, just kind of keeping the ship afloat between ADs. And he was in the running. But I think the strongest thing that she had was the fact of compliance. And I just hope we don't have that problem anymore. And then as the AD,
it has the time to get in there. you know, and I heard someone criticizing. She has to have time to get in there and take care of business, you know, and I heard some, as one person wrote on social media, she wasn't the best hire. Somebody probably said that about them at one time, you know. It's every time something, an action is taken, we have to worry about the negativity. We don't have to worry about it from somebody else because guess what? We lined up to do it.
Correct.
We are lined up for the kill to come at the people.
Mm-hmm. And Cheryl, just to piggyback off that, you know, we've always been very critical, those who don't even understand the process. We've become sidewalk counselors. We've all graduated from FAMU with a street in setology, with a degree in setology. That's what I used to say. You know, we had some interesting conversations during those days. But, you know, give everybody an opportunity. Her track record seems outstanding. And we know how the Rattler family can be a handful. So we got to get in, support her. I know that the previous AD, a lot of people liked, a lot of movement under his leadership. Well, that's just a starting point. You know, she could build upon that. That is already in place, of course. Then they may not give her the justice that she needs. Well, it was already in place. Well, okay, fine. You know, you fought me for something that either was great or even better on the front end. All we could do is maintain it once we get in. So I don't know who's going to be her assistant. They addressed the main problem, which was compliance. So let's see. Let's see.
I hear you say that. When you talk about is the compliance, they fix the main problem. Usually when we look into the left, something is going on to the right. Usually when we look into the right, something is going on to the left, and folks get in and they find they have a lot more to deal with. There's a lot more going on than compliance. And I guess, you know, when I do watch Coach Prime and how he's preparing those students on every aspect with their expectation. And I'd even talk to him about how he's, you know, just as concerned about those players on the field. I mean, in the classroom as he is on the field.
But you see, I know Deion, Coach Prime, as he's referred to, the spotlight is on him. It's kind of like reminding me of a good old science project where you watching every move. If a leaf comes to the left, you better believe we know it's moving. That type of thing. I think he's done an outstanding job. He's put himself in a position where he's making others in HBCU land change their scope and trying to market themselves the way Jackson State has been successful of late. And then when you have the team that can back it up, that makes it that much easier. And I know some of the smaller schools may not have the resources, but you make the best of what you have. I tell you, some of the greatest things that have happened to me is just being around the Paul Quinn college situation. It's no utopia by any means, but it's still shaping the lives of those individuals.
I hear you say that, and I have to stop you because we keep saying it's not perfect, it's not a utopia and everything. Since we don't know perfection and we don't know what your utopia looks like, how do we know that isn't utopia for whatever we're talking about?
Point well taken. But I've seen the positives out of the family unit that we're so used to doing. I've taken a couple of kids that I talk to, just check with them on a daily basis. How are things going? Well, what do you need? We had a kid that hasn't been feeling well. I've talked with them about post-COVID because this generation and these kids are, you know, they still gathering. We tell them to be careful, and some of them don't even understand what they've gone through their bodies. I've tried to take that opportunity to talk to them about it, give them ideas on how to stay healthy, you know, again, because when we were young, we thought we were invincible as well. So
it's not just school, but
the whole mechanism of how kids respond, how kids function, you know, when we were really under mask protocol, some of them were walking with no mask. So it's not so much a knock on the school, it's just society is not perfect. And, you know, we take those things into the realms that we go into every day. But if we inform our students of what they need to do, then it will make it even better for them.
Well, you know, and, you know, we talked about so much. You have so much that you can unpack there. And I just have to say that we have some work to do. I was going to do a column on how we can bridge the gap and help people to be better people. And one thing we have to do is, if it means talking to them and explain, instead of excusing our young, to explain to them why it is unacceptable for an adult to be talking to them and for them to be too engrossed in their phone to acknowledge it. But talk to them about, you know, walking up to someone that you can, if you know your multiple time tables, you go up there and that person is three times whatever your age is, and you walk up to them and call them by their first name. And then, you know, the parent is not, tell them why that is not appropriate. I was talking to a preacher yesterday, and he said that as a preacher's child, that he benefited from being a respectful young man because people in the church would walk past him and put a few dollars in his hand, you know, and they would show him appreciation because he was a respectful child. You don't do that to the ones who act like they run in a household, you know. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've had parents, you're talking to them and you speak to their child because for some reason they don't make their child speak. And then when you say, how you doing? She's so into her phone. Or she's, I think more of the disrespect actually comes from females, young females, but is what I've seen. But then they say, you say, how old are you? And then a parent answers. And I was like, okay, make this young child open. They don't know what doors. And then some of these same parents will come back wanting you to write a letter of recommendation. I mean, you mean for the young person who wouldn't even speak to me? And I just, and I'm just at a point now where you can get offended, but, you know, you didn't see it. You didn't see that your child did not speak. That your child never said thank you anytime I give them anything. Or, you know, I'm not asking them to buy me nothing in return. I'm saying do the common courtesy things and say thank you. Go back, tell every child to go back and look at emails where they've asked for something and see how many times they've gone back after they've received, let's say they had to come in the form of an email, let's say it was a letter of recommendation. How many times have they gone back and said, thank you? But then they'll come back around again asking for something.
You're right.
And there was a time, I know, because I was in Jersey and the majority of my family was in Florida. And if they, if my grandmother or anybody, which they used envelopes and stamps a lot more, if they sent me, I don't care if it was $5, $10, $50, or $20, we had to sit down and write a thank you and mail it to them. But we make excuses, and then we want to blame them for being inconsiderate set people. We got to do better. We really do.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. But you know what? We can't give up. We got to keep pushing in the right direction. You know, there are some parents and some extended families that are trying to do the right thing. And not trying, they're doing the right thing. It's just, you know, we have to find that medium to reach our young folks. But there are some young folks out here that are really making some big moves, becoming the new movers and takers. But we need to reinforce their thoughts and support, and hopefully that they will shine enough where others will see what they're doing and want to join their forces. So it's a lot to be learned, you know. And I tell you, parenting is definitely different than what we received. I constantly look at things, and I'm like, oh, my God, am I doing this? But, you know, I mean, it's time to change. I can think, Cheryl, we may have asked for something, and we may get the look of death. Like, really? Is that what you – hey, dude, you better keep moving. But now, you know, I look at what we've done, what ours, places they're going. If I was going – look, just hypothetically, going to Tokyo, it might have been Tokyo, Florida. And speaking of that, Cheryl, I can remember when we were on the bus as a youngster going to visit our family in Miami. We get on the bus. The last stop before you get to Miami is Hollywood. Why did I think we was in Hollywood, California?
Oh, I know that feeling. I had my Hollywood story too, but you, there's no excuse for me. You from Florida?
Yeah, no, but we were small. I was small, and my thought process was about as long as from my house to my school. You didn't think, you know, outside the box. And then when you see people on TV, Hollywood. They never say Hollywood, Florida, Hollywood, California. They just said Hollywood. And then when you get there, welcome, and the bus driver made it, welcome to Hollywood. He didn't say Florida. So you're thinking, oh, my God, I'm in Hollywood. But as you got older, you understand, then Hollywood is just a grease spot on the map, should I say on the menu. And I have a lot of friends from that area of Hollywood. But it's just amazing how things going in our perception. And, of course, as we get older, our understanding is enhanced, and we have a lot of tools to work with now to help us get a better understanding. And speaking of tools, I wish Ms. Sykes the very, very best there, and we do everything we can from the Dallas area to support her. I pray that our team is outstanding and move us into the, you know, into the future, because FAMU deserves it. They deserve it. Cheryl, can you remember when we
go ahead?
Look, when we used to go to games, we didn't know if we had too much or not enough. We knew what we had. Then when you went to other games, we knew we were deficient in some areas. But now HBCUs are growing exposure. We didn't get that much exposure. If you think about those who attended Florida A&M over the years, you had people from New Jersey, Chicago, people whose parents may have lived in the South, Detroit. But now kids are getting to these schools from everywhere. California, I had a classmate. Wisconsin, Michigan, all those places where they had roots down south. So that I do understand. But now it's time to put a product out front that's second to none. Coach Prime and the folks at Jackson State, they got good problems. And you ask, what is a good problem? Well, now will we have the opportunity to put a stadium on campus? Or will we continue to use the state, the city stadium? Do we want this money to come back to us and not the city, you know, just get some resources on campus? So they're getting money, and I actually like the stadium where they are. But again, the bulk of the money is going to the city, to the city of Jackson. It would be nice if all our HBCUs can gather monies on campus and help fund their programs. So that's what we need. We go to these beautiful stadiums around the country, and that's fine, but you get a percentage. And it's almost like a third of what you would have gotten at home. Because you pay the teams to come. A lot of people didn't know that. You pay them to come to your site. You get so much money. You provide them with meals. And it's an ongoing thing. Yes, and Coach Bryan made a very valid point. We go, we get $400,000, maybe $500,000. But do you, when the other teams come there, they get $2 million. Same crowd participation, and you got students and faculty and alums that are out there spending their money, you know, to keep the program afloat. But we need to stop selling ourselves short and increase the brand. Those are the things that we should be focusing on, making sure our brand is strong. Look, and try to eliminate all the things that could possibly derail your ship or derail your train, cars or whatever, however you want to look at it. So I'm happy. And, you know, Cheryl, back to Ms. Sykes, it's funny how when you go through her bio, that some of the places that I am very, very familiar with, she began her sports information. Now, you know who also does sports information at St. Paul's College? And I think St. Paul's may not be there anymore. I had a relative that attended that. She took the role of a senior woman administrator during the 4 years there. She was sports information director and SWA. I have to find that acronym. I'm not familiar with that one at all, but I will find out. At Virginia Union there in Richmond, served two stints as interim SID and assistant athletic director both for compliance at Grambling State. She earned her master's degree in sports administration. And also she worked as a specialist with the CIAA, Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association Conference. That is outstanding. I would love for FAMU to start doing stuff with sports, sports management, any of that. Because when we were in between athletic directors, there must be some new minds out there that could come up and assist our athletic department. Help FAMU find their brand. Help Grambling find their brand. Because we've been doing it so many ways that were similar to what we've done in the past. Maybe we need a new fresh mind to come in and turn this thing around. And I've asked, and sure, maybe you can help me be a drum major for, let's start a sports information, not even sports information, but sports management. And when they have these issues, part of their internship is to work with the athletic department. Right there. Make things happen on campus. You know, you have a lot of kids that write, let them write and get practice interviewing people in the locker room. or at press conferences. Because when you see the pros do it, it's a well-oiled machine. It can teach them how to run a press conference. It's too many practical things.
Deion's teaching them that, if I could jump in here a little bit. Deion's teaching his players that they need. I don't think it's just athletes who need it. I think it's all college students and even, heck, even high school students now need to know because they're interacting more. They're putting more stuff out on social media, so they need to know how to communicate effectively. And when you get people on talking about no comment, clearly they need some direction.
You're so right with that one. You're so right. But I'm just saying, remember the expression of the world is your oyster? When you open up, there could be a pearl in there. And that's what we need. There's so many pearls that have not been discovered at our HBCUs that we need people like Ms. Sykes. And for one, getting someone a little younger than, you know, what we're accustomed to. Because some of those things, look, selling dinners at the church ain't always the best way now. It's good that Sister Lily was able to cook her greens and everything, and we'll get a few dollars. Well, why don't we get with Sister Lily and get with Bernice and her pies and then make this thing happen, not only the church but other places? So we have to learn, embrace the past in order to make this happen. So I'm just excited. Like you said, Coach Prime is doing some things. He is doing some things. And people ask me all the time, why Jackson State? I say, why not Jackson State? I think deep down inside what he is doing, too, is protecting his kids, which are all those gentlemen, and his personal kids from all the riffraff that's associated with high-profile players. So now you're teaching them, you're protecting them, because the star was the other kid, the oldest of this group. He played quarterback, then he went on the other side, opened the door for his little brother. So you got to go back to when they had Prime Prep, all of that, and Trinity Christian College, Trinity Christian School, in Cedar Hill. So I understand what he's doing. He has the tools to do what he's doing and just trying to protect his brand. But he's building brands with the other kids as well. So right now, they're the hot ticket. We all need to catch this wagon and bring the same thoughts to our prospective campuses. I didn't find the attendance in Jacksonville. I will now as we speak. They played in Jacksonville at the big stadium. So we'll find that as we go.
Okay, you switched on me. What are you referencing now about Jacksonville?
Well, Jacksonville, you know, I was just saying with Coach Prime and what they're doing for black college football, I was just curious to see the game with Bethune-Cookman that was played in Jacksonville on yesterday. You know, he has his brand. How is the brand spreading? How was it on yesterday in Jacksonville? So that's
we
what
have
I
our brand, too. And what happened to our brand yesterday in Grambling?
They didn't follow through? Yeah, nobody. I was like, wow. Wow, what's really going on there? But you got to want to. Right now, JSU, they're doing, as we used to say, sure, they acting a fool right now. Now, fool is not bad. Well, they are supporting their team. And it's nothing like playing in the sports that I played, you know, to see my parents there, my grandparents, you know, that was the greatest thing for me. So knowing that you got family behind you, it brings out the best in you. And
someone just asked, why couldn't FAMU have had a defender like Deion?
Say it again. Why FAMU couldn't have
had a defender like Deion?
That's a good question. That could be asked about a lot of them.
But they're asking about FAMU right now, so do you have an answer for them?
Why don't they have repeat it. I want to make sure I got it right.
Why couldn't FAMU have had a defender like Deion?
Oh, well, Jackson State got to him first. I don't know. We can have a defender like him, but there's only one Deion. There was only one Bobby Bowden. Bear Bryant, that can be said about a lot of folks.
Stop. You must didn't practice excuses when you were pledging. There have been people in baseball,
I got you. We didn't get it because we got Willie Simmons. So that's what we needed.
You're talking about now. There were people that came before. It didn't just have to happen now. It could have happened 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
So true. But you didn't find too many pro athletes going back coaching college, especially HBCUs.
Nobody took a chance on them like that either. Because
right.
If they felt if they could get somebody who had coached white folks, if coached at white schools, they were good.
Right, in their eyesight. But now you got Hugh
and that
Jackson.
That has been some of the problem, not giving chance. And then also, wait a minute, hold on. Let me close because I'm getting.
You also
have to deal with people and their egos. No, I'm just saying I'm closing the door. You get caught up with egos who don't stay in their lane. That if you know you got somebody who can handle the athletic department, then you go off and do some of the fundraising and showing up people in the academic arena and places and research and development. So there are people, there have been folks who have gone to other schools that were doing things. Heck, we saw Doug trying to do things, and what was it? He was putting a floor down or something in the gym, and the president wants to pull it up. You know, egos.
Whoo, you hit a nail on the head then.
Well, I don't know why you want men better with hammers, aren't y'all?
You're right. Well, that's details at 11 on that one, Gerald. But you're right. You made a very valid point. Hold that thought. We got another caller here. Welcome to the world, according to Drew. What's going on in your world? 469, good morning.
Hey, Brother Wiggum, it's Livingston Albritton. How you doing, man?
Good. How you doing, Lev?
Good. Hey, man, I wanted to chime in. So, fam, you had a former NFL player as a coach, and they ran him off. And he was doing a good job.
Thank you.
And Alpha Z brother.
Yeah.
So, the young lady that referenced, you know, players of old, I mean, I think Wiggum is right. I mean, a lot of players didn't want to come back and coach, I would go back. I mean, you talk about what Deion is doing. I mean, if you look at most of the, like, big sports programs that are successful, they put all their eggs in the football basket and everything else lines up around that. I mean, I think that would be a start for us. You know, I want to give the young lady that just got there a chance. You know, I don't know what her history is around football programs. I mean, I know she's worked at a couple of the schools, but I mean, football is the, I mean, is the be all to end all. If you can't make it work in football, ain't none of them other programs going to be, you know, large and sustainable even. You know,
well, then why are the schools that don't have football teams that are doing well?
Schools like where?
There are a number of schools
football,
that not
football is
the
moneymaker, though. Everything revolves around cash and money. I mean, if we want better facilities, better coaches, better results, we've got to get more resources to the school, and football is what drives that.
And
right.
I agree
football.
With you. I agree with you, but there are schools that are doing good that do not have – and they all could be doing better because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. But I tell you, as someone who started out as a sports journalist and who started out as a sports journalist and would sit in those rooms where I would be the only female and I was marginalized because she doesn't know what she's talking about. And guess what? I wasn't more a football person. I was more a baseball person. But there are, if you look at what's happening, you are so right. Livingston, that's your name? If you look at so right at what is happening with football, but guess what is happening across the platforms everywhere? This school taking a chance on Dion, now everybody, it's just like Hollywood. When a movie comes out that makes a lot of money, everybody starts saying, we got to have a movie like that. We got to have a movie like that. But there have been people who have tried. There are Fam Ewins who play professional ball who I know personally have told me the mistreatment they get from the school that they love. But this isn't just in football. This is across the spectrum because it seems like a lot of people who are there in schools and in positions of power, they all about promoting themselves. It's incestuous, to say the least. It is. They're all about supporting themselves and their people to the detriment of others who would give more and do more for the schools.
Right, and they're connected. But Cheryl, that's been a problem over the years. You think about when we had Ken Riley come back. He did some great things for a short period of time. But we've had a number of guys. Our numbers may not be as big as some of the other schools, but we've had some athletes that have made great contributions to the realm of sports. And we need them to come back. If nothing else, talk with the kids. Of course, we always need the money.
You called me on, so I said, okay, Andrew, would you like to go back and work at FAMU?
I would love to.
And you want to know, that's what I hear from a lot of people, but on the flip side, why won't they?
Well, I tell you what I do, a lot of people don't know. When I go back to FAM, you know, I've gone and I've done lectures with kids in my own discipline. I've gone through Senate chambers. I've gone to SBA meetings.
Okay,
you're going
to answer my question?
That was my answer. I give that time back.
No, I said go back and work there. What people have said about a lot of schools, the only way they would go back and work there is if they were asked to come back, because they definitely aren't going to apply because they say they don't treat you with love. They don't treat you good. And so that's why people go on and you look at who stays, who's in a position. We've had some things that have gone on that clearly alumni should be, appalled about at different schools when you see what is going on, when you see what is coming out of a specific school. And there are a lot of people. I don't know how many people at FAM have master's degrees, but I know I happen to be one of them that I don't even mention my master's degree because my foundation came from FAMU. And you look at what is happening with different people when when you do have people who could coach, like a Tyrone McGriff. Livingston, will you give me Tyrone McGriff? And everybody, and then yeah. it takes a different kind of person to deal with a system at a time when you can have a president who lets you do what you do. You say there's only one Bobby Bowden. Bobby Bowden was able to be Bobby Bowden because of whoever the president was. We don't even know his name. Because if the president is in his business, like a lot of these black college presidents do, if he had dipped into Bobby Bowden's locker room, like some of the past presidents at some HBCUs have done, Bobby Bowden would have been Bobby Bowden.
Yeah, but Bobby Bowden had a winning football program. So, you know, my wife and I graduated from Tallahassee in 87, and we moved back in 97. And I remember us driving through Florida State's campus, and she was like, what happened? I'm like, they won a national championship.
And you're talking about because of the growth and everything? Well, they were winning before
that. I'm talking about because of the growth, the money, the expansive building, et cetera. I mean, one of the reasons, and this is just my opinion, athletics are not important at FAMU. They can say what they want to say, but their actions say it's not important.
Okay, tell me what is important, though. What is important? What do
that's
you
a good
see?
Question. That's a real good question.
And that is my point. I talked to a sister, and I'm not going to say where she is, but anyway, she got this big promotion. She got this big, big promotion. So she sent it to FAMU because she felt like it was something FAMU would want to know. And interestingly, I did that too. And, it went nowhere. And it's like, this is somebody who I know. She's younger than I am, and she may be around in your class. She gives and gives and gives to FAMU. And it's like, y'all can put out a release. But then, and I did it, and I just call it like it is. I get into the Hall of Fame of Journalism, and nothing goes out. But somebody gets an internship at NBC, and it goes out. Okay, they just start their career. You don't know what this internship is going to turn into. But that gets a national blast. And it's things like that that are systemic in the school that, you know, you don't want to call them out, but let's call them out. Our schools need to do a better job. The people they have in their communication. I talked to a sister at an HBCU in Texas, and I was telling her, she said she was finding a hard time finding stories about her school. And I know she was pissed with me when I finished with her because I picked out five quick ones. She had the Miss, whatever the school is, was from Dallas. One of the members of a fraternity was running for a national office within his fraternity, and you know, and I picked out this. There were so many students in the band from this Metroplex area. Their queen had been Miss UNCF, you know, for this area. And then there was one more that was a more academic. And she was pissed with me, but I'm like, do your job. We are not doing what we need to do in promoting our schools like we should in promoting the right things. We think sending out a press release every now and then on a stuff that's going to get covered anyway. There are certain things ESPN is going to cover anyway. There are certain things that the Tallahassee Democrat and everything. But what about the stories that we're creating and sharing?
Excuse me for cutting you off. Andrew, I've got a question for you. I mean, I think the question about what's important is a good question. I mean, you had two children recently matriculate to different schools. One went to FAMU, one went to the University of Miami. Viewing their experience as a parent, I mean, what would you think is important at FAMU, or how do you think FAMU, you know, communicates what's important, you know, seeing it through the lens of a student that, you paid tuition for versus a student you paid tuition for somewhere else.
Okay. Well, let's start at Miami. First of all, you got to know your kids. FAMU, I was upset. We did apply in being the FAMU and that I am. I wanted the boy to have the same opportunity as I had. The name recognition, if nothing else. And FAM was a little slow. We wanted some things going on. He declared early. And I was upset that FAM didn't respond as quick as I would like. But then University of Miami throws this money out at him. And, Livingston, our kids both had, our boys had both of similar situations. I was able to sell plans to Andrew about it. But University of Miami came out very, very quickly and strong. Now, with my daughter, she only applied to one school, mm-hmm. and that was FAMU. She got in, and, I just kind of bugged her ear, and then, your kids. And then she caught on like wildfire. She got very involved with the process of Florida A&M, and, the rest is history there. But the thing is that we have bright kids throughout this country. And at one time, we used to get those students. With Dr. Humphreys, but everybody's
like better,
Dr.
Yeah.
Humphreys. But we could still stay in tune with some of the things he brought to the table. But folks, hey, we're about almost out of time. I'm getting this. We need to get back on again. Livingston, thank you so much, my brother, for coming on. Hey, I need you more on more.
Hey, I support you when I can, man. I can't always support you, but I figured I'd dial in today.
Okay, we'll appreciate it.
You wanted a piece of me. That's what you wanted, Livingston.
Rattlers with Rattlers. But we do this every week, every Sunday morning, 8 to 10 Central Time, 9 to 11 on East Coast. And in the spirit of FAMU, we do it. Thank you both for being a part of the World According to Drew. And y'all just make me so proud of where I started and where I am. And we'll be back next week, and this is for both of you. I'm going to go to the next one.